All right, thank you. Well, no, I didn't mention it, Senator, but and of course I wouldn't want to unduly restrict the committee members if they felt they had to ask a question. I would suggest perhaps that we just hear from the witnesses. Probably give us a chance to hear more of them.
I only wanted to ask him a brief question to repeat something he said that he was testifying rapidly, which I think we all appreciated. But I wasn't sure I understood one thing he said. So
go ahead.
Oh, it's written right here. I'm sorry, I didn't see that. I said something about how many, I'm sure I can dig it out of here, how many examples, times there's been male child pornography seized.
In the United States, there's been 1,019 just child pornography alone. That's not including pornography. And 42 of those of that material has been destined for here, for Oregon. I'm sorry?
Destined for Oregon?
For Oregon, for the state of Oregon.
Thank you.
All right. Senator
Sanders? Yes, Mr. Chair. We have district attorneys from three levels here to testify as to the adequacy or inadequacy of Oregon's law. The first one is from the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office, Jeff Jones.
My name is Jeff Jones. I'm a senior deputy district attorney in Multnomah County. I've worked in the district attorney's office for almost 6 years. Currently, I'm assigned to the drug unit. For 14 months, I prosecuted sex offenders within the Sex Crimes Bureau of our office. My comments dovetail with Detective Williford's, which is to somewhat graphically illustrate the inadequacies of the current law by stating that I personally have not prosecuted anyone under the current statute. I spoke with two members of our office who are the only people in our office to have cases pending under the current law. The reason for this, according to them, is because of two segments of ORS 163-680. First, the wording to pay or give anything of value has been to them something that they cannot prove. Secondly, the wording which states that the material has to be produced in violation of the laws of this state or which has been brought into the state in violation of the laws of the United States is something that cannot be proven. As Detective Williford said, it almost requires an admission by the defendant where he got the material from in order to satisfy that element. I can tell you that the cases I handled in prosecuting sex offenders many times involved cases where obscene material and child pornography was found in the possession of the sex offender, and that material was used to prove the case against the defendant. My basic comments this evening are that the lack of cases in our office demonstrates the current flaws within the statute. Other than that, I have nothing else to say.
From the State Attorney General's Office, Stephen Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Stephen F. Pfeiffer, Assistant Attorney General for the Oregon Department of Justice. In that capacity, I am the Chief Criminal Appellate Attorney in the Appellate Division. I'm here to discuss basically the constitutional features of Senate Bill 364 on both the state and federal levels. The committee, I'm sure, is aware that State versus Henry was decided by the Oregon Supreme Court in January of this year. That case involved a statute prohibiting the dissemination of obscene material, not limited to child pornography, what I call the general category of adult pornography, depicting adults or anyone engaged in obscene conduct. However, we feel that the holding of that case is very broad. When the court concludes, quote, in this state, any person can write, print, read, say, show, or sell anything to a consenting adult, even though that expression may be generally or universally considered obscene. When the court says something that broadly, we feel that's an indication that the court would have trouble upholding child pornography statutes in this state unless there were a constitutional amendment. Now, I'm not here to testify specifically on Senate Joint Resolution 18, which is that constitutional amendment, or would provide that exception, except to say that if this particular legislation is to survive constitutional scrutiny in Oregon, it should be tied to passage of a constitutional amendment to ensure that that occurs. Assuming that Senate Joint Resolution 18 becomes law, there's nothing in this bill that would be unconstitutional under the Oregon Constitution. I can say that with a great deal of certainty. The problem, as I said, is the Oregon Constitution and linking it to that constitutional amendment. On the federal side, it's very clear that states can outlaw the distribution of child pornography, pictures, movies, whatever, anything depicting sexual conduct with children. This is the holding of New York versus Ferber, decided by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1982. Thus, Section 4 of this bill is unquestionably constitutional under federal law. There's a possible question about Section 5, but it's our opinion that Section 5, which deals with mere possession of child pornography, would be upheld under the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Supreme Court stated in the case of Stanley versus Georgia that the mere possession of obscenity cannot be prohibited. Mere possession meaning no distribution whatsoever, simple possession by a private individual. That case involved what I'll call ordinary or adult obscenity or pornography. It did not involve specifically child pornography. Since that time, in the case of New York versus Ferber, the U.S. Supreme Court has made it clear that child pornography is in a category all its own, and that it has no protection under the First Amendment. It holds that child pornography is not presumptively protected, and indeed is entirely outside the scope of the First Amendment. The result is that we feel that the U.S. Supreme Court would hold that the section of this bill regarding possession would be compatible with the First Amendment, for the reason that, as I stated before, child pornography simply lacks any protection whatsoever under the First Amendment. The reason for that, I think, is explained in New York versus Ferber. That case describes in some detail the great societal harm that is inflicted by child pornography. The mere fact that it exists means that a child was abused in order to produce it, in addition to all the testimony you've heard already about the effect that that has on the adult and on other children. The state of Washington has a possession statute. The state of Illinois has a possession statute. I think other states do as well. On the federal side, there is, in effect, a possession statute, because all you have to do is transport it across state lines and you've committed a federal offense. The reason there's no federal possession statute regarding intrastate possession is that it doesn't involve interstate commerce. Otherwise, the federal statute would apply to that as well. But on the possession side, it's our opinion that that would pass federal constitutional muster.
Senator?
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Warren.
Then what you're saying about this bill is that this needs an amendment in it to say that this bill is effective upon passage by the people of the constitutional amendment?
To ensure that it meets a state constitutional standard, yes.
Have you given any thought, I know that your specialty is not legislative drafting, but have you given thought to the way you would, do you have a recommendation for us other than just the concept of an amendment that says this bill becomes effective upon passage of the Constitution?
I'd be glad to draft one and give that to Mr. Kramer tomorrow, if you wish, but he and I have discussed this already.
You've discussed it already?
Right. Discussed it with the chairman and with the legal counsel.
Have you, in discussing, with thinking about it yourself or discussing with legal counsel, yourself thought of any particular problem with doing that?
No, as long as it's made very specific what you're talking about and they're specifically tied together.
What do you mean by specific? Saying
it's made very clear that
this bill is tied to the passage of this constitutional amendment.
Right.
Thank you.
I want to add one thing. I'm not precluding the possibility that the Oregon Supreme Court, whether by a change of mind, a change of personnel, or perhaps simply the present membership deciding for the first time that child pornography should be treated differently, that they wouldn't depart from Henry regarding child pornography. And in fact, if we had a case now under the current child pornography statute, which appears unlikely due to the problems of enforcement, we certainly argue to the fullest that it should be upheld under the Oregon Constitution without an amendment. I'm simply stating that to ensure that this bill passes Oregon constitutional review, it should be tied to that amendment.
One last question.
Go ahead.
Then I want to be real clear, I understand what you're recommending to the committee. Although this is the first time the word recommending came in, so I won't start over. Are you recommending to the committee then that you believe the course we should take is to amend Senate Bill 364 to say its effectiveness, its becoming law, is contingent or are you saying that's one option that you think would be effective, but you would also consider other options?
I'm speaking from the perspective of an appellate attorney who have to defend the statute, and I'm saying that's the best way to make sure it survives in Oregon, is to tie it to a constitutional amendment. You wouldn't have to tie the entire statute or the entire bill to it, only certain sections, the sections involving distribution and possession. The rest of it passes now, I believe, but without any question, under the Oregon Constitution.
So you're saying that you think the tying only would have to involve sections
4 and 5.
Is this the Attorney General's position, too?
Well, it's the Department of Justice's position. It's certainly the Attorney General concurs, and this has been discussed at length among staff members in our department.
So if this committee should choose to tie Section 4 and 5 to the passage of the constitutional amendment, is there a low likelihood that we'll hear later from somebody out of the Justice Department being authorized by the Attorney General? It would be unlikely that we'd later hear we should have just passed the whole thing and found out if it was constitutional.
You won't hear that from me.
You're here speaking for the department.
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
So would we be likely to hear it from the department, in your opinion?
No.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, last gentleman I would like to have talk to you is Assistant U.S. District Attorney Jim Collins.
I'm not going to refer to everything in here, so don't worry. There are a number of materials because I had no idea what the committee was interested in or if they had any questions that the materials I brought along could help. My name is Jim Collins. I'm an assistant United States attorney. I'm stationed in Portland. I've been in that position approximately a year and a half. Prior to that, I was a defense lawyer in Portland. I have defended sex abusers, and I have put sex abusers in jail in the area of child pornography, both. As a resident of this state for 35 of my 37 years, I can honestly say that until about a year ago, I didn't realize the extent of the problem involved with child pornography and the interrelated abuse of children that existed in this state. As a result of mere chance, because no one likes really to be involved in this area, it's a seamy side of society that none of us want to particularly spend our time in. I happened to be out of town in Washington in training when the latest case came in, and therefore it was assigned to me. Attorney General Meese decided that all U.S. attorney's offices had to have a person who would coordinate the area of child pornography, and since I was the least senior on the staff, it was delegated to me. Having done work in the area, however, not only in a legal standpoint of researching it, but more practically in seeing what we are dealing with, it is an area that I have no difficulty in prosecuting, and it's an area I have no difficulty in recommending to this committee that they expand the Oregon laws on. The materials involved range from mere pictures taken by stepfathers of their daughters in lascivious exhibition of their genitalia, and then traded without any economic substance to others, such as Mr. Williford in one particular case that I am prosecuting, to movies of 8-year-olds involved with oral copulation where it is forced upon them with other adults, 12-year-olds involved in bestiality and the penetration of rectums and other areas of the body with bamboo sticks and other foreign objects. I think it's important when you deal in the area of child pornography to realize that what we are not enforcing is not as much a question of freedom of speech as some might characterize it, as a protection of the children that are involved. That's why every state that has considered the issue has upheld its constitutionality. Most recently, the Ohio Supreme Court, Chief Justice Calabresi, in October of 1986, upheld their statute, which does punish, and the particular case was, the punishment of mere possession of child pornography. The reason is the overwhelming state concern, the compelling state interest in protecting their children. The federal government has taken an aggressive stand on the area of child pornography. And I believe that the studies that have been done, the most recent reports, have indicated at least since 1984 we have begun to make inroads. One of the reasons was that in 1984 the Congress amended the Child Pornography Bill, the Child Protection Act, to eliminate the requirement that any pecuniary benefit inure to the person who was distributing or transporting or mailing that pornography. The reason is that while there is organized, profitable child pornography organizations and rings, the largest part of it is an informal exchange between abusers who use it to reinforce their own deviant characters. As a result of elimination of that requirement, the number of arrests and prosecutions have skyrocketed. However, the federal government cannot do it all, and the federal government does not cover all areas of it. As Mr. Williford and Mr. Jones referred to previously, there are specific limitations. It is not a constitutional limitation that we can, from the standpoint of child pornography, that we cannot enforce mere possession. It is simply the fact that for the federal government to legislate, there must be some federal concern, some federal interaction. In most cases, and particularly in this case, it's tied to interstate commerce, any transportation across state lines, any transportation into this country from a foreign country is a violation if that involves child pornography. The mere possessing of it, driving across the interstate bridge from the state of Washington into Oregon, is a federal violation, as well as the possession of it in Vancouver being a violation of the Washington state laws. Mr. Pfeiffer referred to some other states besides Washington that have a possession statute. Illinois has a statute I know of, Florida does, Alabama does, Ohio does, and I know there are others. Those I simply gathered today when I was looking quickly. The current state law, ORS 163, 675, and 680, requires proof of a separate state or federal offense plus a pecuniary purpose for the exchange in addition to the exchange of child pornography. The state must prove that it was either produced in this state contrary to the law, which is an almost impossible task short of the defendant's admission, or that was brought into this state in violation of federal law, which likewise is almost an impossible task, short of a confession by the individual or physically following the person, as in the case of one case that Mr. Williford referred to, from Vancouver into the city of Portland with the materials in the trunk of his car. Absent that, you cannot prosecute under either one of those statutes. The federal government likewise cannot prosecute. Those who possess it in this state, who may have brought it in illegally, who may have produced it illegally, but who are not stupid enough to admit that they have done so, escape prosecution in this state. The area that I think is most important in the area of federal constitutional law is that it is this statute, this mere possession, has been upheld under federal law by the states that have considered it. Whether or not it passes constitutional muster or not under Article 1, Section 8 of the Oregon Constitution is a matter for legitimate debate. My own personal opinion is it does. If one refers to Judge Jones's opinion in State v. Henry at page 522, you'll notice that one of the considerations, the primary consideration, is was this conduct prohibited at the time the Oregon Constitution was adopted? Clearly, and referred to on page 522, is a statute in effect, effective May 1, 1854, that prohibited the possession of obscene books or pamphlets, printed matter, ballads, we're talking about written words even at that time, that contained obscene language, obscene prints, pictures, figures, or other descriptions that was intended even for loan or sale or exhibition, clearly beyond what the state statute today even prohibits. It's something that was protected before the Oregon Constitution was adopted. It was protected because the state has the paramount concern for protecting its children. It's a situation that, if it is not addressed, will expand exponentially. There is clear evidence in almost all cases that those who are abusers of children, and the production of child pornography is the abuse of a child. It's the abuse of a child when the photo was taken. It is the abuse of a child any time and every time that that photo is transmitted to someone else. Those people who do so, in most cases, are people who were abused themselves as children. And unless something is done about it, it's simply going to expand exponentially out of control. If there are any questions that any of the committee members have, I would be glad to answer them. I have materials here. The materials run the entire gamut, and it's far worse than most people expect.
All right, thank you. Senator Simmons, anything further?
That is all of the witnesses I have, Mr. Chair. If an amendment is proposed somewhat along the lines that Mr. Pfeiffer talked about, on page 3, line 31, I would like to see section 5 and 10. See, and 10 added after the section 5. It was a Scrivener's error, I think. In closing, I would also like to say that this is an ongoing problem. Within the last 2 months, I've talked with a young woman from 20 miles east of here who talks about 12 young children in this small community, ranging in age from 3 to 10, being victimized, sexually exploited, videotaped all the while. I've talked to Dr. Leon Harrington of Salem, a child psychiatrist and MD, who says that he can heal the torn vaginas and the torn rectums, but it's very, very difficult to heal the torn psyches. And this is what we're talking about. Children, young children, exploited, abused, photographed, so that the abuse is compounded. I would urge the adoption of Senate Bill 364 to at least put a dent in what's going on. And as the final thought, if there is any doubt in your mind as to the constitutionality of this thing on a federal level, there is a doubt. If there's a window, let's err on the side of trying to close it instead of letting this thing continue. I thank you for your patience, and trust we'll hear from you soon in a work session.
All right, thank you, Senator. Willis Schroeder, please.
Thank you, Senator Fryer, members of the Judiciary Committee. In deference to the long day you've spent here, I know you're all pretty weary, and also to those behind me who wish to speak, I'll make my comments very brief. I just want to express support for this bill. I think we need this bill in Oregon to protect our children. I respectfully urge you also, if you would, move on this very rapidly, because as you know, we're trying to wind down, and the committees will be closing down before too long. You will have to go from here, of course, to your Senate, the floor, then over to the House Committee, and then through the House floor. So I do respectfully request that you move as rapidly as possible on this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Rex Armstrong?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rex Armstrong of Portland, president of the American Civil Liberties Union. I'm here to testify concerning this bill and speak in opposition to it. I have a 19-month-old son. I care about children as much as anyone in this room. But I think it's necessary to come up with solutions that address this problem in a constitutional manner. I think that can be done. I'm the person who drafted the law that was enacted by this legislature at the last session. I did so with the cooperation of the district attorney's office and was told at the time by Keith Meisenheimer of the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office that the approach that we had fashioned would work. He indicated to me that basically if the material couldn't be produced in the state, it also couldn't be brought into the state consistently with federal law. So as long as you found someone with the material who was engaging in the conduct prescribed by the statute, you could prosecute them. Now they say they cannot prosecute them, but that's certainly news to me. It was an effort that was made at the time. I'm perfectly willing to come up with and work with the people involved in this effort to develop constitutional solutions at work. But so far, based on the testimony that's been given, I'm in no sense persuaded that the approach that's proposed here will work and will be consistent with the Constitution. Very briefly, the definitions that they seek to amend, the definitions that were put in there were definitions put in by Senator Meeker to begin with. They were the ones used in state and federal law, the one upheld in Ferber in New York. Those definitions, I think, are adequate and workable. The proposal that they make in subsection 6, 7, and 8 of that definitional amendment section absolutely are not consistent with the Constitution and, frankly, totally unnecessary, and so I'd say there's no point in engaging in that exercise. The anything of value point, which has become a matter of concern, relates to a problem that the committee has got to grapple with, and that is if someone finds this material and hands it to someone else because you know they run into it on the street and they say, my God, look at this incredible stuff, to make that criminal is a matter of great concern because all they've done is communicated with someone about something over which they were engaging in perfectly normal behavior. And yet if you make the transfer of this material alone an unlawful act, you're going to make criminal that conduct, as well as criminal the conduct of the person who picks it up, because all it takes is a knowing possession of it, and as soon as you pick it up, you knowingly possess it. I have to disagree strongly about the suggestion that Ferber, in some manner, makes Stanley versus Georgia no longer relevant. Mr. Pfeiffer said that Ferber emphasizes that child pornography is totally outside the protection of the First Amendment. He's correct. However, the whole point of obscenity not being protected, according to U.S. Supreme Court analysis, is that also is totally outside the protection of the First Amendment. And yet, obscenity was held to be something that was entitled to possession in Stanley versus Georgia. So as far as I can tell, there is no way of suggesting that Ferber changes Stanley. Also, I drafted the 1985 statute consistently with Henry, because I was at the time arguing Henry and seeking the adoption of the analysis the Oregon Supreme Court adopted in Henry. What is now Oregon law on child pornography is consistent with Article 1, Section 8 and constitutional. The examples that have been given by people talking about the inadequacy of existing law, including Detective Williford's comments and the probation officer's comments about people who apparently have been victimized and can be identified, can be prosecuted under existing Oregon law, the provision 163.670. So I'm a little unclear as to the difficulty that they seem to have expressed. Quite simply, Senator Simmons at the hearing on Senate Joint Resolution 18 asked whether I was willing to assist in developing solutions to this problem. I said I was, and I am. When I was driving back to Portland, I started thinking about it to see if there was any way that something could be done about it. And the thought that occurred to me is the development of a civil remedy that would have the state bringing invasion of privacy actions on behalf of the children who are harmed in the way that we've talked about. I've not been able to work it all through in terms of the legal analysis to figure out how extensively this could be done, to figure out how effective it would be. But I'm struck, at least initially, by the feeling that it might well prove to be a very workable way of dealing with this problem and avoid all sorts of constitutional problems that have been identified, and also probably serve better to deal with the people who are engaging in this behavior. The psychologist testified about the people who are currently in therapy. It seems to me that the expenditure of funds and the treatment of these people is in fact more likely to be effective in dealing with the problem than incarcerating them to the extent that you do successfully prosecute them so that eventually they get back out and once again engage in the behavior. I think that the complexity of this issue at this stage is not something that can allow the development of legislation that will satisfy constitutional concerns, state or federal, and that an interim approach to this is, I think, the most reasonable solution. I'm committed to spending the time to do whatever can be done to address the problem, because I'm as concerned about protecting children as the people here. But I think it can be done consistently with the Constitution, and I'm willing to spend the time to do that. But I think it's something that's going to require months of careful work.
All right.
If there are no questions.
Well, I think, yes, I do have a question. There's no question about the fact that the committee would not want to, I think I speak for all the members of the committee, we certainly don't want to draft something that's not going to be constitutional. That certainly isn't any way for the legislature to act. But the question I've got to you is, the Stanley versus Georgia opinion of the U.S. Supreme Court, in the way I read the case, it's indicated that obscene material, the mere possession of obscene material without more, could not be successfully prosecuted under the First Amendment. Am I right so far?
Yes.
All right, then, in your opinion, in spite of what change we might make in the Oregon Constitution, do you think
that meaning? Will our quest of righteousness and the discovery of the good lead us to encourage the violence and degradation of child pornography? Concerned Women for America urge us instead to seek righteousness and goodness in our Christian heritage. That is not causing government to establish religion. Rather, it is recognizing that the standard of excellence is not made by one man or even by a group of men. The standard has been made and given to us by God. Therefore, we urge this legislature to approve Senate Bill 364.
All right, thank you.
To those who advocate child pornography, Concerned Women for America in Oregon encourage them to exchange their enslavement and addiction to pornography and whatever money it produces for the freedom and righteousness found in Jesus Christ. All of us, they and we, men, women, and children, would be a lot happier and healthier if they did. Thank you.
George Sahlstrom.
Mr. Chairman, members of the panel, for the record, my name is George Sahlstrom. I live in Albany, Oregon, and I'm the Benton County Director for Oregon Citizens Alliance. We're in support of Senate Bill 364 because while most citizens have left pornography alone, it has not left us alone. It invades our homes, our workplaces, and our communities. It is neither innocent nor vicarious, nor is it viewed for art's sake. It has become more obscene and with more gore with each passing year. Hardcore pornography promotes rape, violence, murder, child, and even baby molestation. It is a lie to believe that there is nothing that we can do about it. We can put a stop to it, and that is why we're here tonight. Another lie is that the lewd depictions of naked bodies singly portrayed or intertwined with others is innocent, that it has nothing to do with the epidemics of illicit pregnancy and abortion, teenage sex, the spread of venereal diseases, and the breakdown of fidelity in our homes. The Commission on Pornography, appointed by Edwin Meese, has exposed pornography and revealed its harmful effects on our society. It is used as an instrument of sexual abuse and harassment of women and children. For instance, a false impression of women is being conveyed to the user of pornography by depicting women enjoying being raped and tortured. This encourages violent behavior toward women and reduces them to nothing more than sex objects. Pornography is like a drug. It seems to be addictive in nature. The user requires progressively more sexually explicit and increasingly violent material. Eventually, human dignity becomes devalued and the conscience is numbed. Hate and lust replace love and respect. The most devastating effects are the defilement of the minds and bodies of our children. Of approximately 50 million pornographic magazines sold each month, some 70% end up in the hands of minor children, the average age ranging from 12 to 17 years. As a result, they may never be able to enjoy healthy attitudes toward sex. Pornographic videos are used by pedophiles to soften children's defenses against sexual violations. Children are betrayed into sexual involvement by being told, "See, that's what mommy and daddy do." They become further convinced with bribes and later coerced with threats to their lives. The family suffers also. Pornography damages the marriage relationship. Men have unrealistic expectations of their wives and as a result seek thrills elsewhere. Divorce often occurs because of the defilement of the marriage bed. Pornographers belittle marital fidelity and virginity and all else that is good and wholesome. They would have us believe that promiscuity and illicit activities are more exciting and fulfilling than marital love. And why is that? Because of money. The obscenity market is 85% mafia controlled and generates $8 billion a year. In this case, money is the prime mover. Finally, all of the foregoing affects society, for whatever affects one member of society affects the whole. Lust breeds lust, and sin breeds sin. The producers of pornography have blatantly stated that bestiality and pedophilia are desirable and should be legalized. This is not because of any deep sense of commitment to free society from its self-imposed sexual inhibitions, and neither is it because of any sense of commitment to the family. It is because of greed and greed alone. I urge you to pass this measure onto the floor, and please remember, all it takes for evil to flourish is for good men and women to do nothing. Thank you.
All right. Larry Gertner. Another Mount Angel person, I believe.
Larry Gertner, Mount Angel, as a parent and as a involved member of the local school committees and chairman of the budget committee, and also employee of the CSD at McLaren. I have an interest in young people, and if the current law lacks teeth, I just say, let's give it the teeth it needs to do the job. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Let's see, now I think it's, I think the first name is Craig. I can't tell what the, D-E-M-O, am I close?
Mr. Chair, I've been admonished about my handwriting before.
I ought to see mine.
My name is Craig DeMaul. As a representative, and I'm going to be brief tonight, and we'll deviate from the printed statement that's being passed out to you now, but as a representative, I'm speaking on behalf of the Oregon Association of Evangelicals, which is a loosely knit association of over 1,600 churches in Oregon, plus parachurch ministries that comprises somewhere between 250,000 and 300,000 parishioners in the state. But as on a more personal note, I'm really coming before you as a father because I'm outraged at this problem and because I believe that Senate Bill 364 is a good vehicle. Mr. Armstrong made the statement that this is a complex issue. I take issue with that statement. Every single piece of child pornography is a permanent record of child abuse. And that's what needs to be dealt with. If there's a constitutional issue here, let's put the proper verbiage in the Constitution so that we can accept the language that we're proposing. I would say that we even need the provision in Section 6 about child pornography possession, because as the officer said, child pornography is often traded or given away as a gift. I'd just like to conclude with by reading the second to the last paragraph in front of you. As strongly as we believe in individual liberty, we affirm that there are instances when the protection of people compels the restrictions of others. In other words, my rights ends where the lives of others begins. No one has the right to abuse children. While those who produce obscene material talk about the importance of civil liberty, their track record proves they do not care about the lives of others. Should not we have the right to appeal to our city council if a smut shop is within a few yards of a playground, school, or church? That question is going to be answered by how we deal with this legislation and probably Senate Joint Resolution 18 as well. And I would just encourage your swift passage of SB 364 with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Eugene Kathman. Did you want to make a statement? Is Mr. Kath?
I concur with Mr.
DeVos. Yeah, all right. Thank you, Mr. Kath. And Marie Gertner?
I concur with
my husband. I expected you would, Mrs. Gertner. And Rosemarie, is it Bellazos? I got that right? Rosemarie, is there anybody named Rosemarie that signed up? Okay. She might have left. And Michael Carr, or is it Kerr? Mr. Carr?
Yes.
All right, sir.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Michael Carr, and I am in support of Senate Bill 364. I wish to make several points. The 1986 Attorney General's report on pornography clearly points out that children and adults of the pornography readers are directly affected. The innocent victims receive acts of violence, torture, rape, and murder resulting from porn's visually stimulating effects. Chapter 7 of the Attorney General's report states a link between child pornography and child abusers themselves. Evidence shows that photographs produced of children engaged in sexual activity are used as tools to persuade other innocent children to engage in sexual activity. A child reasons, if other children are doing it, it must be all right. With a criminal law in place in Oregon, the child porn market would decrease the incentive to produce these photos. The pornography peddlers are presuming that their trade is freedom of speech protected under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. In a landmark 1982 case, New York versus Ferber, the New York Supreme Court ruled unanimously against First Amendment constitutional challenges, and I quote in part, "We think the balance of competing interests in protecting children against exploitation is clearly struck, and that it is permissible to consider these materials as without the protection of the First Amendment." Mr. Chairman, our children are the future of Oregon. Allowing free rein for pornographers to continue to mess up the minds and emotions of our youth, we then fall short of encouraging proper character values that can make Oregon's youth a cut above any other state. Finally, a point to consider. In memory of the 1,296,000 men and women who lost their lives for America from the Revolutionary War through the Vietnam War, I doubt not one of those people chose to die for their country for the right of a pornographer to exploit the lives of children. Mr. Chairman, this is a mockery of what the term freedom of speech was originally intended for. Members of the committee, please support Senate Bill 364.
Thank you. Ann Esch?
Yes, and I just want to concur with all the testimony.
Thank you, Mrs. Esch. And Monica? Margaret Team, I believe from Mount Angel also.
I urge you to support this
bill. All right, Ms. Team, thank you. And Alberta Gilder.
Correct.
Thank you, Ms. Gilder. Buddy Freehoff.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I have testimony prepared, but as usual, it's just repetitive, so I know everything that most of everybody has said that is favoring this bill. I would like to go on to record also as endorsing what they have said. But I would like to say one thing. Did I introduce myself? My name's Betty Freehoff, and I'm from Salem. I testify so much, and you know this is the first time I think I've ever testified in favor of any of the bills that you've had down here.
Believe me, there are an awful lot of them that shouldn't be here today.
You're absolutely right. Someone asked me in the hall if I was for or against this bill, and I had to take time out to think, and I said, I think I'm for this one. I do want to say one thing. I heard one of the gentlemen testifying about the sex offenders. I serve on a citizen review board, and about a month ago, we were asked by CSD to sit in a 3-day conference on people that abuse their children. and one whole day was given to sex offenders. And I was absolutely shocked at some of the porno movies that they showed us at this CSD conference. And I think the people in the room should recognize that our people that are sex offenders, the criminals that are sex offenders, are taken to the state hospital, and what are they given for rehabilitation? More sex movies, more pornography. The state of Oregon is one of the biggest perpetrators of pornography. And with that, I say that's about all I've got to say here. Thank you.
All right, fine. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Wyers.
I can't quite let that one pass. Probably be better if we had the psychologist that was here testifying in favor of the bill expand on that. But the reason that...
I'd be happy to.
Go ahead, Senator Wyers.
To my understanding, I'm not an expert at this, but to my understanding, people are shown pornographic material when they're incarcerated and in treatment as part of aversive therapy. And there are a variety of things that are done to them when they look at it to make you're aware of that. Well, then I don't quite understand why you...
I believe, sir, it's like giving alcohol to an alcoholic to treat him.
That is happens to be one of the treatments for alcoholics in some of the programs. I don't have to know, have an opinion about whether that's a good one or not, but they give people alcohol until they're extremely sick. But maybe the previous witness should get involved in this movement of how people are treated. And,
I think it'd be good for them.
Yeah, you might have to go to school to do that, to get a degree to be able to compete with these people. I would, Mr. Chairman, at the proper time, if we have time, like to hear from the psychologist about this.
Well, I wouldn't consider that to be germane to the discussion.
All right. I just think that was sort of a silly remark.
Gabriel Avery.
My name is Gabrielle Avery. I live at 2031 Southwest Cedar Court in Lake Oswego. And at the outset, I would like to thank you, Senator Frye, for having this hearing this evening. We've been looking forward to it for quite a few days. I just have a very brief statement that I would like to make in the interest of time. I am a citizen lobbyist for the Oregon Women's League and Citizens for a Decent Oregon. And the members of both of these organizations feel that it is high time that the Oregon legislature do something about the amount of pornography that is proliferating all over the state. And for the sake of our most precious resource, our children, and I'm sure that all of you on the committee love children, I would urge you to pass this bill out of committee this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. David Philp. David Philp.
My name is David Philp from Salem, Oregon. I would just like to go on record. I support this bill. We have protection for seals and whales and all kinds of wild animals, and we designate areas for natural beauty and things like that. I think Oregon prides itself on being a leader in all kinds of other measures, and I support this bill, and I think we should be a leader and put as many teeth in as we can. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Let's see. How many people out there that have signed up still want to testify? Hands? I'm talking about people who have signed up now that still want to testify. Okay, one, two, trying to get an idea here. I'm looking at the clock. Come on up, sir. And you're next. You're next. Come on up. You'll be next.
Mr. Chairman, I stand 100% behind Mr. Simmons and his efforts, and he did an excellent job on arranging testimony. And why is it that we have to be so very delicate and tedious about protecting pornographers? Okay, put your name on the record where you live.
Joel Spinner, 15016 Coon Hollow Road, Southeast. Not too many miles from our place. A mature man raped a six-month-old baby boy. I don't hear any protest to protect that little boy's constitutional rights. How hideous has our society become? It's a good thing he lived several miles away.
All right, go ahead.
My name is Suzanne Bryant. I'm from Staten. As a mother of three children and a teacher of children grades kindergarten through ninth grade, I have seen the devastating effects of child abuse, particularly the lasting fear of these children. I can only say from experience that our present laws do not protect our children. I wonder, when I hear of certain people who oppose the passage of Senate Bill 364, I wonder how many of those who oppose that law to protect our children are actually child molesters themselves.
All right, now let's see who else we got. Come on up here, ma'am, please. You come up. Yes, you too. Come on. You'll be right up here handy then.
Thank you. I'm Charlene Foltz from Armsville. I'm a mother, and I'm here in support of Senate Bill 364. Most everything has been said, but there's one point I'd like to make, and that's at the hearing on Joint Resolution 18, the president of the Civil Liberties Union was asked if it were his son's pictures in a folder, if he would want them passed on. His answer was no, he wouldn't. I wouldn't either. I wonder if any of you would.
All right, go ahead.
I'm Jean Mansley. I live in Lake Oswego. My husband and I and our three adult children have a total of over 60 years working with children and youth. We've worked in many areas, statewide, nationwide, regionally, and in India. We've had years of building character in young people. I'm not going to tell you any gory details. I know plenty of them, and I corroborate all the horror stories you've heard. Children never, ever get over sexual molestation. All of that takes too much time. I hate pornography because it is a sure evil, and the essence of logic is in a paragraph by William Stanmeyer. Though crude, pornography is a philosophical statement. It says there are no rules about sex. Sex is trivial. Sex is for entertainment. Though debased, pornography is a theological statement. It says there is no God who says I should limit my lust, nor channel my passion, nor give as well as get. Pornography is anti-woman, it's anti-child, it's anti-marriage and anti-permanence. Thus, it is profoundly anti-civilization. Since civilization is social support to the dynamics of life, pornography is anti-life. And I'd like to conclude with a second point which has not been touched on in any way. On top of being anti-civilization, the mass murder of our entire population could be laid at the feet of those promoting sexual promiscuity. The facts of this murder are very well documented in this book, The AIDS Cover-Up, a bestseller by Jean Antonio, and I strongly commend this to every member of this group. AIDS is a retrovirus, meaning a person can have the virus for 5, 10, or sometimes, some researchers say, perhaps 25 years. A person can pass the disease along to everybody that he molests or seduces. To continue promoting sexual titillation of any kind is therefore the act of committing murder. If this legislature does not move to protect our people from this profound evil of pornography, then it in effect will be guilty of mass murder. In fact, total genocide. In Zaire, it is happening right now.
All right. Now, anybody else signed up who still wants to make a statement?
I'd just like to be a short statement.
I'm Associate Pastor Frank Hemingway from Oak Park Church of God. I very much oppose the abuse of children and pornography. And I believe, according to the law enforcement people, that Senate Bill 364 would strengthen their ability to prosecute and control pornography. And that's the reason I want to go on record in favor of 364.
Thank you for being here. All right, ma'am. Come on up, please.
I just wanted to mention a few couple of items that I testified on the child pornography bill in the last legislative session.
Yeah, sit down. Tell us your name now.
I bring that type of evidence along with me.
What's your name, please?
Mary Cullivan. I'm a representative also of Oregon Youth Forum.
Where do you live?
In Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
And so I want to just make a few notes. Liberties of the abusers, are they to be ranked higher than the civil rights of the abused? Social mores also dictate the cleanup of our environment. They take away the rights of the smoker, and so forth. Is this not censorship? Pollution of our minds and spirits, and the society's efforts to protect itself and its children, is this censorship, or their right to protect themselves also? Those who defend pornography are censors too. We do not need to ponder the rights of the pornographers versus the rights of the people, because this bill is an amendment to our state constitution. This is on Senate Bill 18 that I got this evidence. May I suggest, so that the state constitution, which gives the right of the people to decide what the social mores of the people of Oregon want, may I suggest that you pass this bill now and hasten its passage so that the people may have the right to vote on it soon, at next election. Then you can go home and sleep well in the knowledge that you have turned over to the people their right to choose what is best for their children in Oregon. I think maybe also the ACLU would feel better. He could go home and rest better, too, if this law were passed.
All right. Come on.
For the record, my name is Gerald Clark, and I reside in Corvallis, Oregon. Chairman, committee members. No serious research scientist today questions that portrayal of violence in the media contributes to subsequent antisocial attitudes and behavior by its viewers. The same is true for research into sexual violence, particularly the sexual violence depicted in aggressive or violent pornography. FBI agent Roger Young testified that every time a child has been molested, the person committing the crime has been discovered to have read child pornography. A study of 114 rapists convinced sociologist Diana Scully that scenes depicted in violent pornography are duplicated in rapist crimes. Police also find such materials intimately connected with recruitment, abduction of children into prostitution, pornography rings, alcohol, drug use, etc. Vice squads report 77% of boy child molesters admit patterning their actions after pornographic materials. Each year, 1 million children ranging in age from less than a year to 16 years old are sexually molested and then filmed or photographed. It is clear that the problem of child pornography is a byproduct of child molestation and that the relationship child pornography has to child molestation is a greater threat to children than had been previously considered. Testimony before U.S. Senate hearings in November 1984 revealed that the U.S. is the world's largest consumer of child pornography. 85% of imported pornography comes from Netherlands and Denmark. Americans need stiffer child pornography laws to restrict the transportation of such materials. In a poll taken in America, 73% agreed that pornographic material encourages rape and sexual violence. I therefore urge your support of Senate Bill 364 to protect our Oregonian children. They will be your constituents in a few years. It would be comforting to them that you looked after them today. I'd like to make one additional comment. In the Senate Joint Resolution 18 public hearing, there was a person who previously opposed Senate Bill 364, who is a little ironic that he urged the Senate Government Operations and Elections to drop Senate Joint Resolution 18, but to go with Senate Bill 364. I find it a little ironic that he opposes it now.
Okay. Is Joanne Kintz? Did she testify? Joanne Kintz? Or did I call? I. That's right. I can't, some of these names I'm afraid I just can't read, so I guess if you get missed it's because I can't read the name here. I think I've got, I can read, what about Linda Gilmore? Did I call?
I would just like to concur.
All right, thank you. Let's see. Patricia? Anybody named Patricia that signed up? Did you want to testify? Yeah, what was your last name?
Sharon.
I think that's what it is here.
I concur.
Okay. And your husband concurs with you?
I concur with Regina Cheever and Mrs. Pia.
Okay. You know, we've got Mr. Bingham. Mr. Bingham. I got a B, I think it's B.B., is it Bingham?
I'm Donna Brigham of 477 Pork Point Lot Court in Salem.
Brigham, all right.
And all I want to say is, can we almost hardly not believe that in this world, in this country,